So, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that we live in a country which is as fundamentally divided as I have ever seen it in my adult life. And the differences really are beyond simple arguments regarding policy about foreign affairs or taxes or health care or immigration. I mean, the differences really reflect profoundly deeper disagreements of values and of identity. And compromise has become harder, and distrust of the other side is high. Now, we Christians, we're not immune to such polarization. I mean, intense feelings of disagreement have been with us in our churches for as long as people have called themselves Christians. Now, we see that in today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians. Now, we Catholics, we tend to look at this reading and we say, well, that's the affirmation, that's the validation of our belief in the real presence, that during the Eucharistic prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the bread and the wine become the body and blood of Jesus. But there's a lot more to that passage if you read it in context, if you read the entire 11th chapter of Corinthians. Because there's a message there that really should resonate with us in our divided country. Because what we just heard was St. Paul writing to the Corinthians specifically because their church was profoundly divided. I mean, they had a church where gender and economic issues were literally ripping it apart. And St. Paul states that the ultimate key to resolving these divisions is found in verse 26, which is, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." St. Paul is challenging the Corinthians not to stand on their own rights, but to do what is good for others. They must be willing to imitate Christ's sacrificial gift of himself. I mean, what would our country look like if we all embraced this kind of a challenge? And the same message echoes even more loudly in today's gospel. Now, it's hard to imagine a more argumentative, contentious group of people than those that were in the upper room that night with Jesus. I mean, we have Judas in that room. And Judas had already decided he was going to betray Jesus. And we have Peter in that room. And Peter is a man who in only a few hours will not deny Jesus once, but three times. And apart from John, all the others, well, they scatter like frightened mice when Jesus is arrested. Now, at the moment that we hear described in today's gospel, who among them had the right to expect Jesus to demean himself to the point of washing their feet? Well, in a few minutes, we're going to be asked to come forward and have our feet washed. And we will come with all of our differences and our biases. Some of us are Democrats. Some of us are Republicans. Some of us are neither. Okay, some of us are men, some are women, and there are those who aren't sure what group they fit into. And we will sit next to each other with all of our differences, and we will not simply have our feet washed, but we will be reminded that when we leave the church tonight, we must be ready to put our differences aside and wash one another's feet. And a few minutes after we have our feet washed, we're going to witness the great miracle of the transformation of the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus. We will be witnessing once again Jesus' great sacrificial gift of self. And when we take that body and we take that blood into our bodies, we do so not simply for our own spiritual well-being. Okay, we do it as a sign of our commitment to leave this church with the intent to follow the model that Jesus has given, to do for others as he has done for us. Again, I ask you, what would our world look like if we all embraced this ideal?